Hello, and welcome back to the Laughing Place podcast. My name is Doobie, and today I'm joined here with Fanboy.
Hello.
Rebecca.
Hi.
And Captain John.
Arr, mateys.
Wow, we've got the full complement today. It's always special when all four of us can all kind of clear our schedules and show up and make magic in our own special way.
Aw, one down, 999,999 to go.
Before I begin today, I want to remind everyone, podcast at laughingplace.com or 866-718-9408. We always love to hear from you on whatever is on your mind, suggestions for what to talk about, comments on what we've said, questions for the genius Fanboy, or pirate questions for the genius Captain John, or just requests for Rebecca to say something in her lovely voice. Just podcast at laughingplace.com, 866-718-9408. And, of course, something I never do, and I'm stupid, I should, because how do I know you know what website we're from? Laughingplace.com/podcast. That's the homepage for this podcast. So check it out, laughingplace.com/podcast. Here we go. Our first topic today, Pop Century, because we got a question. So I will read it. Juicer from the laughingplace.com discussion board has written, "Hey there, you guys are great. Love your podcast," which is pretty much the criteria for getting your question read on the podcast.
I just don't encourage people to lie, Doobie. That's not nice.
Whatever it takes. He says, "I have a question. What is going on at the Pop Century Resort at the Legendary Years section? Is it really just sitting there falling apart? I heard Disney was going to convert it to an all-suite family resort. Is that true? With Disney resorts with very high occupancy rates now, it seems silly for them not to finish this already started resort. What are your feelings?"
I think they're finishing it and going to make it family resort, family suites, pardon me. I think Bob Iger basically mentioned as such earlier. The irony, of course, is that they built it, and then after 9/11 decided, you know, maybe not finish it, just save some time. Pop Century will be the largest resort on property. But then they decide to change the way that they want the rooms to be, so you spent the money to build it, now you got to spend the money to sort of rebuild it, and they still have to theme it and build infrastructure for it. It's not done per se. I mean, the buildings are there, you can see them, but there's still a lot of work to be done.
For those of you who aren't familiar, the Pop Century was originally built in two sections, the Legendary Years that we're talking about now and the section that's currently open, which is
the Classic Years.
And the Classic Years went what, 50s through the 90s?
Yes.
What were the Legendary Years supposed to be?
The zeros through the 40s.
The aughts through the 40s.
Yeah, and I mean, for those of you that always wanted to stay in a Depression-era room, you'll have your chance. I wonder, are those rooms cheaper?
No, they'd be more expensive because they're antique.
Oh, touche.
No, I actually think they're actually priced the same, but when you're like in the 20s, you're paying $60 a night and $1920.
Oh.
So that really ratchets
well,
it up.
Well, and then, you know, that's why they're suites, is because in the 20s you had to have 18 people per room in order to afford it.
Now, are the bedding going to be like black and white up you know, until the 40s, or?
Actually, in the aughts, you can't speak in the room.
That's what I was going to say. You know, the funny thing is they're currently working for that speaking rubber heads for Oswald the Lucky Rabbit, and that just seems useless. And he'll be walking around the classic years. Or is that the legendary
years?
That'd be the
legendary
years. Because, you know, when I think the zeros to the 40s, I think legendary. When I think 50s to the 90s, I think classic, of course.
The building is there. Actually, as you drive into the Pop Century towards the classic years, you can see this beautiful, not brown building off to the right, and That is the Pop Century Legendary.
It always reminds me of like one of those nuclear war films. I don't know. It's so barren. It's like right off in the distance is this very ornate, very colorful thing, and then closer to, you know, as you're driving in, there's like these really barren things, and it always reminds me of the contrast as like the wall of nuclear whatever passes through. You know those movies they made us watch in the 80s?
No. Not familiar.
You are too.
My favorite thing is they have this beautiful, really expensive-looking, what they call the Time Warp Bridge that connects the classic years to legendary years. So it's a bridge to
nothing, nowhere,
basically. But
it's there now?
And it's yeah, and it's gorgeous. You can walk across really it, and then there's, like, planters at the end. Yeah. And you're like, well, you know, and
we haven't got our time machine working yet.
Yeah, it's... And I think that the rumor when they didn't open the legendary years was that they didn't think, you know, they thought the 50s or the 90s, those are, you know, classical, and everyone would be enjoying those, whereas there's not a lot of passion about the 30s. You don't, in high school, you didn't go to your 30s dance.
You didn't go to a 30s dance in high school?
No. With your little flapper outfit? No, I didn't.
I had a flapper outfit.
Are they going to have their own food? Are they going to have their own food court and everything over there?
Yes.
Yay, more places to eat.
So as you said, these will be always good. These will be family suites. You figure they'll all be family suites?
I believe so. I mean, I don't know anything for sure, but just...
I think that's what was announced back in April. Yeah.
Bob Iger mentioned some of the stuff, and it's you know, obviously things can change because nothing's set in stone, and, I haven't even seen any work being done. And that, I mean, theming is not easy or cheap. And you just got to... there's still a lot of work to be done, so I don't want you to say make your reservations now because that's not where we're going.
Now Disney does currently have some family suites. We figure this was kind of done as a testing ground. The All Star Musics have about 192 family suites.
Yeah, give or take a few.
And they sleep six, which got me thinking. It seems kind of strange that Disney World, the family resort, it took this long for them to get into the family suite market. What do families do now? Just get adjoining rooms?
Well, we do. There are suites available, but they're in our luxury resorts.
Right.
And I think, they got adjoining rooms. Because there's really – the reason that Disney is going to family suites is competitive pressure. They're starting to build more and more family resorts in Orlando. Probably from an economic sense, it doesn't make sense to have family suites in that you'd rather sell two rooms. And instead of for twice the cost and have one and a half, basically one and a half rooms, one and a half cost. So, but, it's sort of a trend in the hotel industry. So we'll see.
Disney always the trend follower.
Well, when it comes to resorts, yeah.
Yeah. As Fanboy pointed out, it wasn't really a word you heard that much up until recently. Anyway, family suites. I mean, my family, we always just had adjoining rooms because suites were something that came with other amenities and other prices that we couldn't afford. So it tended to be adjoining rooms or perhaps a long-term rental of like a vacation home type thing is what we would have ended up going with on our family trips because we had there's four kids and the two parents, so we had, six.
And Alice.
And it was two boys and two girls, so, you had to have plenty of beds for everybody to have their own space.
And, I mean, the Disney Vacation Club has suites, which you can find about by visiting Disney Vacation Club information centers across property.
And across the country. Well, at least
Chicago.
So there you go, Juicer. I hope that answered your question. It looks like Disney is making a move on the Pop Century Legendary Years, and it is family suite. So there you go. You ask, you get an answer from the experts and from us.
And, yeah.
Here on the Laughing Place podcast. Our next topic today, for the second week in a row, and we're so happy to have it, a Pirates of the Caribbean Dead Man's Chest. In general, Pirates of the Caribbean update.
Dead Man's Chest is the last one.
At World's End.
That one's still going on, isn't it?
No, the chest is dead. The dead man is dead.
I know, I saw the movie. At World's End from Captain John. Sorry about that.
All right. One of the interesting pieces of news is that the At World's End website is actually officially launched.
Yay! Woo-hoo!
Meaning that there's, various wallpapers, synopsis of the story, but there's a little sort of, as with the Dead Man's Chest website, you have a little click-through adventure where you click on certain characters and you go to different locations, and at the end, you're awarded a little desktop widget which counts down to the movie's release, and it shows news, etc., etc.
Cool.
Exciting.
Exciting, yes. And it's like designed to look like the charts that they used to get to and from Davy Jones' locker.
What's the URL for that official site?
You know what? I'm not entirely sure.
I bet it's pretty easy to find, though.
www.disney.com/pirates probably works. All or right. pirates.go.disney.com. Never mind. Yeah, disney.com/pirates. Try that.
All right.
At the all-new disney.com.
How long are they going to call it that?
You know it's sad. I actually remember hearing about a meeting once where they talked about the term all new, and you're allowed to use it for one whole year after – I think this stems from New Tomorrowland, and they were allowed to use it for 1 year after it opened.
Okay.
So Snow White's no longer an enchanting new musical. Now it's just not running.
All right. Captain, what else you got?
But the last time I checked Disney.com/pirates, I think it actually took you to the old website – So I'm not sure if that's actually currently fixed. So you may have to go into Google or something and type in At World's End and get there. So not
He's
sure
right.
about that.
Disney.com/pirates takes you to a website for the older movie. I think it has a click-through for the new movie, but it is themed to the...
I wonder what does happen to Google if you just type in At World's End. That seems a little... Do At World's End, and I'm feeling lucky.
It'll probably come up with a rumors page, I figure.
I think at this point in time... Like Armageddon.com.
I think at this point in time, it actually has... Most people are searching for pirates using that.
You need to make sure you put the apostrophe in the right place, right? WORLD's apostrophe S, because it's not At World's End. That was a working title 5 titles ago.
Is there even an apostrophe? Because they were debating on worlds. Yeah. because there's a double meaning there.
Yeah, no, I think there it's officially there's WORLD apostrophe S.
Okay.
Light years above the rest. Okay.
All right, the Pirates of the Caribbean online beta officially started last week.
Yay! I'm excited to be a part of it. Now I just need the new computer to run it.
And
2 gigahertz processor. Well, when it comes 258 megs, video accelerator.
The beta itself has higher requirements than it will actually wind up being.
It's like Disney Link. It's crazy.
But you could be a part of it too, all right?
How? Tell us.
Send an email to beta@piratelegend.com with the subject line, Live the Legend. Put your name in the message. And you will get an auto reply saying that you will be in consideration to start out the beta. It's not guaranteeing that you'll be there, but you have a chance. Not to mention the fact that later on there's going to be a more widely public beta than there is currently. So if you don't get in now, you'll probably be able to get in later.
But you are a part of the beta?
Yes, being that the Pirate Fan Event gave us all invite codes so we could type in.
And the beta has begun?
And the beta has begun.
So.
Have you tried it yet?
Yes, but I can't say anything about it.
Why not?
It's in beta.
Did you sign an NDA?
You have to keep it under wraps, you know. I've got to keep my identity, you know.
He's being secretive.
I have to be secretive.
All right.
But he doesn't
want everybody to go try and blow him up. Because, they don't like him on the podcast, so they go find him in the little multiplayer universe and blow up his ship and take all his treasure.
And honestly, I bought a new computer because... I can't play it yet, but I would tell you how much I enjoyed it, but I can't.
Well, currently it's in very, very, very early stages, so if you do wind up getting into this thing, expect a lot of things not to work. It's very, very beta. It's like
when is it
alpha.
Expected to launch for...
There's not a release date, surprisingly enough, because it's so buggy. They say spring 2007, but this thing has already been delayed like 8 months. So going by the phase that's in currently, I'll be surprised to see it anytime soon.
Next thing you know, Citadel will buy ABC Radio. Oh, wait. That happened today. There's an interesting thing if you go to the Pirates website, online website, piratesonline.com, whatever. Mm-hmm. This story about... where this came from and how the VR studio was established by Michael Eisner to do Disney Quest, and then they somehow transformed into part of Disney Online and became Toontown Online, and then when Pirates came, Bob Iger had them start this Pirates project. It's actually an interesting piece. It's in the, I think, Our Story or one of the Frequently Asked Questions sections. Check it out if you get a chance.
Okay.
So, right, there we go with that. Yahoo Movies.
Yahoo!
Thank you very much. I was going to do it myself. Yahoo Movies. Yahoo Movies has a clip at their At World's End section. Again, I do not have the URL because it's very complicated, but look it up at Yahoo Movies At World's End. And you got a clip from the movie showing Jack Sparrow and Barbossa arguing over who's the rightful captain of the ship. It's a very funny clip. I recommend you check it out.
Cool. Now, the trailer premiered as well, right?
The trailer, I was getting...
I don't mean to rush the band. Please continue.
Well, I was going to bring it up with the fan event, because both Fanboy and I were at attendance of the fan event where this was premiered.
Yes, we were. Am I supposed to talk about it now?
Start off with something.
Okay, well, we're based in here in Orlando. The nearest one was in Miami. So we took the Toll Pike. Florida's Turnpike, which the apostrophe is after F-L-O-R-I-D-A apostrophe S, so it's like Florida owns this turnpike or something. Well, Although apparently nobody owns it because it costs $42 or something.
Round trip.
Yeah, well, anyway. Yeah, so I conveniently lost my wallet.
Yeah.
And so luckily, that's me. Captain John was there to help with our $80 adventure. And we went down, and it was held in this huge, like, shopping mecca thing.
The Sawgrass Mills Mall.
Right, they had a Walmart and a Target.
It was like if you've been, like, in Orange County, there's the block.
Right.
So except it's like that.
The part of that this thing was held at was in the dead zone of this thing. There was the movie theater and a lot of vacant space. You could tell, like, a CPK used to be there, but wasn't there anymore. And, like, a Nordstrom that had been converted into a Nordstrom Rack. And it was a very interesting experience. We got there. The check-in was supposed to begin at 3. Began at 3:30. We got in line. We supposed to get it. The whole timing thing was really off. But I was very excited because we got in. And my good friend Captain John was dressed as my good friend Captain Jack Sparrow.
Yes, indeed.
And they had some pirates from a local pirate bar, which I guess is big in South Florida, whatever.
Oh, yeah, totally.
From Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, totally. Pirates culture is big in South Florida.
So they entertained the
crowd. They entertained the crowd, and they sang pirate...
Sea shanties, I guess.
Sea shanties. That was the word I was looking for. I was going to say jaunty, but that's something different. and then they decided to do a costume contest, but really disorganized. And Captain John was one of the contestants. Mm-hmm. And
out of how many?
Well, they first lined up a big group of us. I'd say there's around like 10 of us, I'd say, were in costume, but finally we got whittled down to 3. The pirate troop were the judges, so that was a little bit, you know, threatening to see
and
the pirates up there. You know.
Our good friend, Captain John, actually won, I would say, close to an unanimous decision.
Yeah.
And the applause had it.
It was you would have thought that Disney announced the return of light magic. It was no wait.
Yes, let me
rephrase that.
I admit.
Announced the return of the tuna fish sandwiches in Fantasyland.
Woohoo, yeah.
Party.
And it was an honor and privilege to be his friend at this event.
What'd you get? What's the booty?
The
booty.
It's a pirate event.
Yes. Okay. I got some nice pirate booty, being the NECA. The NECA 18-inch tall Jack Sparrow talking motion-activated figure.
And it could all be yours if the price is right.
$1.
The Jack Sparrow idol, which I have dubbed it because it's sort of creepy, but yet it's cool.
Cool.
I got a ticket to go see Meet the Robinsons, but unfortunately in Miami, and I don't have another $48 to get down there.
For a day before it actually comes out.
Yeah, hours. Like, I could have. The movie starts at 7, and you know it's released at midnight the night before. I'll wait.
How many people
cool
were at
though.
The event?
I would say probably about 80.
Oh, nice.
So.
And what else did they give you? I see you opening up a folder over there.
When we first got in, they gave us a replica of Jack Sparrow's bandana.
Which I would have never known was a replica of Captain Jack's bandana if Captain John hadn't told me, because
it's a much smaller version. It's not like the headscarf, so.
If it said replica on it, would it be a replica? I mean, does his say replica on it?
Don't master replicas say it on the bottom.
Okay.
But yeah, the pattern is similar. They also gave us, as I said before, the Pirates online invitation, which came in a CD case where there's various pirate media on it.
Cool.
And they, along with that...
Any chanties?
Along with that, they gave us this concept art of the Jolly Roger villain from...
Oh, that's really creepy.
Ooh, everybody see that?
Wow, that's really
and
creepy.
Here, interesting factoid. Jolly Roger made his first appearance where... Do, 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 do. I'm sorry. Jolly Roger made his first appearance here. Do, 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 do,
what
do,
is a piece do, of candy? Do, do,
do, do, do. I have no idea.
What is Disney Quest? Because the team that's doing the Pirates Online game created Pirates of the Caribbean Buccaneers Gold, Curse of the Buccaneers Gold for Disney Quest.
That's so much fun.
And the little ghost villain you're battling is Jolly Roger.
His look has evolved a little bit though since then.
Well, yeah, they got rid of that whole 90s look of, you know, angles.
Cool. Well, have you heard about any other events? Oh, I guess you guys had a screening of a trailer though. Was there anything interesting regarding that?
The At World's End trailer. There are so many various places that have descriptions, so I won't necessarily bother telling you here. And also, you could see it yourself with the pirate player, and you know, on YouTube and stuff. You know, just it's all over the place now. It was very, very exciting. There's some very interesting shots in there that have the fans speculating like crazy. So it should be a very interesting movie. I'm excited.
Was the trailer pretty well received at the event?
Yes, indeed. They showed it twice.
Yeah, my favorite part was after the trailer, the guy running the event goes, "Don't go anywhere! Don't go anywhere! There's more!" And then they say, and then Jeffrey Rush says, "As you saw at the end of Pirates 2, for those of you that stayed up, you know good things can come back. And here it is, again, the trailer." And then they watched the trailer again, which I thought was funny, because the poor guy was afraid that like it was a Steve Davison production and everyone was going to just leave thinking it was over.
We had the pre-recorded intro for the trailer and the film. They showed Curse of the Black Pearl. But at the El Capitan event, which was huge turnout at the El Capitan, everybody was pretty much dressed up there. Very big event. They had Jack the Monkey make an appearance. The dog with the keys, otherwise affectionately known as Poochie to my community. And some guy named Orlando Bloom.
He was there?
Yep.
At the event?
Yeah, he was there. On laughingplace.com, Buzz Lightsnack and Ursula attended the event, and they talk about it.
Orlando Bloom. Yeah, Orlando Bloom was there.
What about the monkey? I believe in the power of Jack the Monkey.
And at other locations, Lee Ehrenberg and Martin Kleba, otherwise known as Pintel, and Marty the Dwarf also attended at various other locations across the globe.
And we got people from a pirate bar in Fort Lauderdale.
And a radio station.
Oh, yeah, Power something.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
Wow, that's quite an update this week, Captain.
After looking at the trailer, I went to the discussion boards to see what people thought, and CTX Rover pointed out two scenes that really caught his attention.
Okay.
And he describes
the Jack.
Jack and Davy Jones sword fighting on a ship's mast in the rain, which I have to admit that was a pretty impressive visual.
Yes,
I only saw it on a little tiny computer.
Right.
And then the other one is that there was this battle scene between two pirate ships in a water vortex of some sort.
Right.
And that also, even though it was on a tiny screen, was impressive. I can only imagine what it must have been like on a big screen with hundreds of cheering pirate maniacs.
A very interesting shot that causing a lot of speculation. There's a scene that's very, very quick. It's like a couple of frames at most, where you actually see what appears to be Jack Sparrow in the sort of Davy Jones-like curse.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very interesting shot. Nobody exactly knows how that plays in, so, you know, check it out. It's a very fascinating shot.
And the big news is that everyone knows I'm not the biggest Pirates 2 fan.
Really?
Really now?
Yeah. You're the biggest Pirates 2 fan. just kidding. I'm actually excited about the Pirates 3 trailer. It made me say, gee, that looks like a fun movie.
What did you say when you saw the Pirates 2 trailer?
I didn't. No, I'm like, gee, that turning the wheel scene seems like it goes on forever.
The two things that stuck out to me was, first of all, the Captain Jack themed skull at the end. When the Pirates of the Caribbean logo came up, the skull has the red bandana with the beadwork hanging off and the little beard thing hanging off the skull, which is kind of funny.
Like the Dead Man's Chest poster was the same with that, and so they did it again with this one with a more Asian theme because we got the Singapore Pirates coming in.
So I thought that was cool. And then the second thing, which really confuses me, is I know that with Pirates, the first film and the second film, that Keira Knightley was, you know, I guess a poster for young men everywhere. You know, they kind of pretty Elizabeth Swann. Well,
really?
People were constantly talking about the beauty of Elizabeth Swann and this stuff.
Okay.
Well, go on.
She's really covered in this movie. I mean, one part of it they show it's very cold. So she's, you know, bundled up. And then another part they show, she's dressed up in a pirate long sleeve, button up shirt. I was just kind of surprised that there wasn't any kind of,
well, just wait,
you know,
till they get
eyes
to the,
bug out kind of moment.
Well, just
Kira.
Wait till they get to the Chinese bathhouse.
Oh, okay. So at least we do expect it. Because I was kind of surprised that they weren't, you know, flashing the skin, as it were. Because it seems like that kind of
well,
film.
Well, in the second movie, she was mainly in, like, a pirate getup. So it was a little bit different from the first one there.
Okay.
So.
I've only seen the first.
She's becoming more piratey, so I guess that means that you're not as, you know, pretty, pretty princess.
Not as
anymore.
Much pretty yeah. princess
fleshy. I hope she doesn't get scurvy.
Whatever.
That'd be bad. That was random.
I don't know. You can't have pirate talk about scurvy, can you?
Aye, mateys. Scurvy dogs, you bilge rat.
You know, my favorite pirate fan-related thing is there's a Disney fan friend of ours, and he really wanted to name his dog after the dog in the Pirates of the Caribbean. This was before the films when the attraction, you know, was a passion of his. And he wanted a Disney name for his dog, and it was, I guess, a bit of a battle with the wife. So he ended up going with a name based upon that dog, and their dog's name is, I think it's Keela. And it's based upon the name of the dog. You know, they made up this name based upon the fact the dog holds keys. And I think they ended up going with Keela. I just thought that was so cute.
That's cute. Who's that person?
I'm not going to say. But he's well known.
And he's our friend?
Yeah.
So I think that's just about it for the pirate extravaganza that I've...
Well, thanks for the update, Captain, but you're...
Hopefully next week it'll... I love that song.
That's spooky.
Oh, that was also in the trailer again.
Is that recording, like, on the soundtrack?
Actually, not a lot of people notice this, but it's from the first film at the beginning where you see young Elizabeth singing Yo-Ho, okay. And they sort of echoed it and made it sound creepy.
Creepy.
So, yeah, hopefully next week I'll have a break because there's just been news piling up and everywhere.
I have a feeling after May you'll start to calm down a little bit. But, Captain, you're not done yet because it is time for the Captain's Challenge.
I get a theme song. So.
Oh, this is mine right now. Let me take my medal here.
You get to wear it.
Put it on. Looks more like a choke chain on me. I'll just hold it. And let me enjoy it for the last few minutes, last few seconds.
Considering last time you didn't even get it.
I got it the next day. Anyway, what is this week's Captain's Challenge?
All right, on the subject of pop century, name the flower-shaped pool.
The hippy-dippy pool. Beep.
Beep, beep.
Beep, beep.
I'm beep.
Bop.
She's bop.
What am I?
I don't know. Beep.
Fanboy.
Yes, yes. No, it goes to you. You are correct. And
what's
with the whole beep bop thing? Just say the answer. I can see where you are. What's up with this?
I like to ring in. Makes me feel like a real game show.
Well, next time, just give him a buzzer.
Ring in with your name. Why don't you just ring in with your name?
Anyway, hippy dippy pool is the correct answer?
The
I don't know.
Pool.
That's my answer. Is that, it correct?
That is correct.
Yay!
Makes you wonder.
And the metal goes back.
Makes you wonder what's in the chlorine in there if it's called the hippy dippy pool.
Oh.
Touche. I wonder, what's the pool going to be called in the legendary years? Like, Pit of Despair, Depression Pool?
What, did they have chlorine back then?
Oh, good point.
They could just be swimming in algae water.
No, they'll be in the lake. See, they don't have the pool. You go into the little body of water.
Bay Lake?
No. isn't there like a pond or something? I mean, there's ponds everywhere here, so there's got to be something by the pop century.
There's Hourglass Lake.
Well, then there you go. You know, you have to fight the alligators.
Not to be confused with Crescent Lake or Lake Buena Vista.
Captain?
All right.
Do you have one for the folks at home?
Okay. By the Hippy Dippy Pool, we've got Jungle Book characters setting the scene for the theming, so I've got a Jungle Book theme question for you. Name the vultures from the Jungle Book, you know.
They're my friends. They're my friends.
They're my friends to the bitter end.
The bitter end.
Is there a worse song in all of Disney than that song?
Yes, I'll try.
You beat me to it.
The debate continues.
That is the worst song in the world.
And we're gathering a lot of really good ideas on what is or what is not great Disney music.
You don't like We're Your Friends?
I can't stand that song.
So if you have a Disney song that you would like us to... that you would like to have represented in our discussion, podcast at laughingplace.com. We're still gathering up people's suggestions for what is the best Disney song.
I'll try.
I'll try not to hear you sing.
All right, moving on. What are you laughing at over there, fanboy?
You're singing, maybe?
I've heard you sing.
You sing so beautiful, you should sing so
yeah,
well.
But I see, so low we can't hear you.
Just call me
amigo, stop the clucking, you're sounding
yeah,
like a
but the
of
trouble
old,
is,
man.
It's not far enough out of that reel. What am I talking? I've been on that ride of show things.
It's not far enough out of this world.
Oh, now I'm hungry. That's the best restaurant on property.
Dole?
The Tiki Room.
Yeah, isn't it a restaurant?
No.
The Tropical Serenade.
Does anyone know, speaking of Tropical Serenade, why they decided to call it Tropical Serenade at Walt Disney World instead of just calling it the Tiki Room?
I give up.
I don't know the answer. If you do, call us at 866-718-9408, because I'm curious.
And if you call in the next 15 minutes, you get nothing.
Nothing. Absolutely.
Absolutely nothing.
But we're cheaper than Miss Cleo.
Yes, indeed.
Now, where were we?
I think we killed.
I know where I'm at.
That one. All right.
Pirates of the Caribbean is not going to be shown in 3D, is it?
I hope not. That would be scary.
But so many other Disney movies these days are. And if Roy Disney's company, Shamrock Holdings?
LLC.
Recently made an investment in the 3D company that Disney uses for Chicken Little and Meet the Robinsons, etc. And it just got me thinking, do we like
3D? A dangerous pastime.
I know. Do we like 3D movies? And more importantly, do we think 3D is going to stick this time? I mean, 3D made its debut decades ago with, arrows shooting out at you and popcorn coming into your lap and kind of disappeared almost as quickly. Do you think 3D is here to stay this time? And what's your opinion of it? Just thought we could talk about that for a few minutes.
I think so, but it just depends. Like, in some cases, 3D is sort of needed to keep certain movies from actually being interesting. So whether or not they just say, hey, let's make a bunch of movies in 3D, they should sort of make sure to keep it like a novelty, at least. Okay. Because if there's just too much of it, then that would be the downfall. You can only have so much stuff in
so
your
you
face.
So you still think, though, it is still a novelty? It's not something that can just become a basic part of movie viewing?
Basic, no, but I could see it staying as a sort of, like before, like 3D sort of went off the face of the earth and you didn't see it at all. Mm-hmm. But now I think it'll stay, it'll still continually remain.
I think there's market pressure from the distribution end to have 3D because it's something you can't do at home. And so they want to do it as something special. You can't argue with the numbers, and the 3D theaters do 3-4 times what the traditional movie theaters are. There's actually some of the upcoming 3D movies not being released by Disney but using the same process in certain metropolitan areas are only going to be shown in 3D. They're not going to have the traditional prints. So, as long as people go see it is really what's going to keep it going. I think it's here to stay. I mean, you're never going to have art house movies. Well, I don't see art house movies being in 3D, and, it's going to still be a blockbuster thing. But I see it staying. I'm probably more towards the animated end because the process is easier than on a live action end. But I know Walden Media, that's partnered with Disney on many things, like Narnia, is working on a Journey to the Center of the Earth in 3D. James Cameron from Titanic and other stuff is working on, I think it's called Avatar for 20th Century Fox, I believe, but I'm not certain on that. So there's a lot of stuff in the pipeline. So I think as long as they do well, and have a higher per-screen average than traditional films, sure.
I think what Fanboy just mentioned about it not being something that you can experience at home is a big hook on the 3D. I know I don't like going to the movies, as you know, Doobie, because you always have to go to the movies with Fanboy or Captain John or somebody other than me.
She was about to say some loser.
Because I don't enjoy the theater experience. However, a 3D movie, I will actually bother to go to the movies to watch it rather than wait for it to come out on DVD and watch at home.
But whether or not that becomes the norm, would that change it? Like, would you, will it be something that somebody would get easily sick of? It's like, oh, it's another 3D movie, whatever happened to...
Yeah, I just don't see them ever going mainstream. I can see it where like, regularly when you went to the theater on a Saturday night, that one out of the 25 pictures available at your multiplex might be, you know, a 3D film.
Right.
But I don't see, you know, half of the films available at your local multiplex being a 3D.
Well, people haven't gotten sick of Honey, I Shrunk the Audience, and that's been around for 15 years.
Captain EO's still going strong in some countries, isn't it?
And Muppet Vision, and...
Have to be a bug.
Oh, yeah. That's 98.
I mean, but I'm disappointed I missed Nightmare Before Christmas in 3D. I would have liked to have seen that, that film is not one of my favorite films. I don't pull it out every year and feel the need to watch it.
What have you seen in 3D? Chicken Little?
I saw Chicken Little in 3D, and I thought that was really impressive.
And you've seen Nightmare and, I presume,
Monster House as well, which is not Disney, but right. 3D.
Did you see Nightmare?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Does it really grab you? I mean, is that, aside from the whole business aspect of it, just you going to a movie, is it exciting to see something in 3D for you?
It's a better experience. I mean, this new 3D technology, and it keeps getting better. This Real D company keeps acquiring new smaller companies to integrate their technology into the 3D technology. It's a better product. So if I'm going to go see the movie, I mean, I'm going to see Chicken Little, I'm going to see Meet the Robinsons. I'm going to see Monster House. It's great to see it in 3D. It's a better... I like it more. Am I going to go see a really bad movie because it's in 3D? Probably not, but...
Right, you do find it a better experience. Yeah. I saw the only one I've seen so far is Chicken Little, and I didn't see it not in 3D. I mean, the 3D I did really enjoy, but it's hard for me to say it's at all a draw for me. The glasses, honestly, are a drawback, and on balance, yeah, I don't know that I personally care.
Well, it's nice that these movies are not... They're movies that they've converted into 3D. They're not 3D movies.
Right,
so you don't have people, you know, like Chicken Little's going like, oh, the sky is falling and a big piece of, sky comes rolling towards you. I mean, it's not gimmicky. So it's just, which I think was part of the drawback, besides that and the old sort of headache glasses.
The reds and blues, which mess with the colors.
As long as there's not the IMAX 3D things. Remember those? The big
helmets
on your head?
The big helmets that were weighted heavy.
It was really neat technology, but yet it's like, wow. You get out of that thing and you're like, wow.
Swimming.
And then the same thing, you're like, you didn't need to do it this complicated. It's the same technique that Disney uses and these new glasses use, except they just don't have electronic shutters on them. They just naturally have two different polarized images. And I'm like, that's just making things more complicated than it needs to be.
IMAX.
So I think 3D will stick this time. In a you'll see half a dozen, a little less than half a dozen or so films every year come out in a 3D offering. That's my guess.
To me, the interesting thing is, and I don't know if it will be successful. I really don't know. We won't know until they really do a wide scale launch of it. Is doing 3D non-events, movies events. Let me go back. 3D events that are not movies. Like, they tested out during the NBA All-Star game. So would people go to a movie theater to watch the Super Bowl in 3D? Would they go to a movie theater to watch the Oscars in 3D or what have you? I don't know, but a concert or whatever.
So live television in 3D on a large cinema format.
Right.
Interesting.
It's more than that. Some people already go to a bar or other gathering place for a Super Bowl and have that sort of party atmosphere. So would you be able to recreate that in a movie theater, except add that 3D thing, which would draw more people in? And because these movie theaters are looking for other ways to make money besides movies, and this is a way they can do it.
That's just a funny statement right there. Movie theaters are trying to make money by not using movies.
What they could do is do a live broadcast of the Disney shareholder meeting in 3D. I think that would pull people in.
Does anyone really need to see Evelyn Davis in 3D?
Oh, no.
Or 2D. Or
our audio.
Can you feel the love tonight?
We love Evelyn because she's watching out for our shareholder backs. Anyway, on a much, much more serious note, the Walt Disney Company filed a lawsuit a couple of weeks ago against the city of Anaheim and has now introduced the SOAR campaign to try to make the council of Anaheim conform to their every whim at the expense of the poor citizens of the city.
Boo-hoo, poor citizens of Anaheim.
Fanboy, why don't you give us a quick rundown of what's going on over in Anaheim?
Well, The the Disneyland and other folks of businesses in the Anaheim Resort launched the Save Our Anaheim Resort campaign called SOAR.
Coalition.
Yes, it's a coalition of the willing.
SOAR. That reminds me of, like, Pocahontas. Would make our hearts soar.
There's actually a hand. There's a hand motion that you're supposed to do every time you say it. They want to put a ballot measure on the, I believe, March 2008 ballot that will require voter approval to have any non-resort functions inside the what defined Anaheim Resort District, which is that, you know, as part of the 2001 resort expansion, making that all pretty, taking out all the signs, that whole area that Anaheim and Disney did together. And then, of course, Ed Greer's sort of the face of this. In fact, there's talk that this is really just about setting the stage for the next expansion of Disneyland. There's rumors going on that the Disney brought city council members to Glendale to view sort of the Disneyland Resort 2.0. And they had to sign all sorts of NDAs, and really nothing's leaked out from it. I mean, there's rumors, but nothing has.
The LA Times is making a big thing about on I think it's Garden Walk's website, how there's an area that's highlighted as Disney's third theme park. It's nothing new. It's the same thing that we saw back when DCA opened, thirdthemepark.com. It's the same general area of the resort that was highlighted then, but because of the SOAR and these rumors, I think it's hitting the papers again. I noticed an LA Times story today.
And, I mean, there's also talk of DVC and boutique hotels and niche parks. I mean, honestly, I have no idea what they're planning. But there's even talk that that's the reason why Ed got the job, is they felt that he would be able to handle the Disneyland City Council stuff.
I'm glad there's a reason Ed got the job, because he's been pretty hidden up until now.
Yeah, well, it's weird because really the only time you've seen him is when he's battling the city of Anaheim, which is in contrast to most recent presidents, whether you like them or not, have been always out with, you know, nice little, I don't want to call them fluff pieces, because that's sort of degrading as to their importance, but, you know, cast events and little annual pass holder events and things like that, where Ed's been fairly absent.
Ed's quote in the, I guess this is a press release from the coalition, I thought was kind of, you know, a little bit of the flexing of the muscle in a way. I mean, his quote says, "We have been investing in the Anaheim community for more than 50 years, and the resort area is extremely important to us. Disneyland alone boasts an economic impact of $3.6 billion annually for Anaheim and Orange County. This ballot measure helps ensure that the resort area will remain a world-class resort destination and puts Anaheim residents in charge of the area's future." I mean, I think he kind of clearly lays it out there. Hey, look, you know, we bring all this money, you know, this resort brings in all this money, and that, and let's put this ballot before the Anaheim residents and see what happens. I think it was Jim Hill, actually, who raised a point regarding this on an article a couple of weeks, or maybe about a week ago, where he said that if you think about all the trouble that Anaheim residents gave regarding certain growth that the Disneyland Resort wanted, the way that they kind of stepped up and kind of tried to keep it down, that why would Disney want to, in essence, increase the amount of residents on their, you know, back doorstep, as it were? And it's an interesting point.
And that's what the SOAR coalition is doing, is it's trying to get any changes to, I guess, the zoning, for lack of a better word, for that Anaheim Resort area to require the citizens of Anaheim to approve it, not just the commission or the council or whatever it is, as they seem to try to do a few weeks ago, and that got, they tried to make some of it into apartments, I guess, some of it low-income apartments, and that got turned down. Disney helped convince the council not to pass that, and now this coalition is trying to make any future measures like that require the votes of the Anaheim citizens.
Well, Disney had one of the city council members recuse herself, so the vote was actually a tie, and there's talk that the Fair Political Commission might restore her, and then that would actually make the ruling against Disney's position on it. So there's the issue on that low income housing is not dead yet. But it's interesting though, because do you know who the spokesperson is for SOAR?
No.
It's Patrick.
Patrick Warburton?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to SOAR.
You guys are so silly.
My name is Patrick, and I'll be your chief political advisor today.
Stop.
You know, any council members that don't reach the line have to pull that one.
That's their center strap.
So they can, yeah.
And any folks that don't have any money, they have to remove their mouse ears.
Where do the penguins come into play?
I think that's actually people are, we don't want moving in. Because they don't measure, they're not 40 inches. For those Disneyland folks who are listening, the penguins were in the Disney World version of the Soarin' commercial.
Which, in talking to several Soarin' cast members, led to some problems. Because penguins are not 40, is it 40 inches? Or
yes.
48?
40? I'm pretty sure it's 40.
Okay, it's 40 are not 40 inches tall. And so, therefore, when they would be denied access to the attraction for their children, they would...
They would come back saying,
well, my kid's taller than a penguin, you know, which they had seen in the ad. So, yeah, so it's
and that's
kind
when
of a funny
I'm
thing.
Pretty sure the cast members would go, it's a commercial.
Well, I think they ended up adding, like, a little,
yeah.
like,
yeah,
in
I
small
think
print.
At the bottom of the commercial that.
Letting you know that, you know, this is not necessarily indicative of the height that of the people who ride this attraction.
It started getting really messy. Getting really messy when people butt in their pet penguins.
You think you're joking.
That's my service penguin. I hear you have a similar problem at Tower Terror where the guests come up and they're concerned because there's no bellhop actually in the tower pulling the lever like they see in the commercial.
Or people standing up.
You know, the commercial shows them standing. I mean, if someone actually stood in that ride, they could just point to the commercial and sue.
Before we go on to the next topic, I just wanted to mention something about the way the Disneyland Resort participates in the community. Back in February, the last couple of days of February, the Disneyland Resort cast members held Flashback 2007, A Night at the Movies. And we live in Florida now, and we weren't able to attend. But in past years, we've gone to these events that the cast puts together. They donate hundreds of hours. I mean, there's probably about 1,000 or more people who attend these things. And that are held at the Hyperion Theater. And it's just a really fun evening to see the cast doing things that you don't normally see. I can remember one gentleman who we had watched previously. You know, he was a greeter at an attraction, and there he was singing and dancing. I had no idea he had that type of talent. Well, this year, the proceeds of those ticket sales helped raise $25,000 for two local nonprofit organizations, the Boys and Girls Club of Anaheim and Imagination Celebration, which is part of OC's arts program. And I just think that's so cool the way the cast comes together. I know that through volunteers they do a lot of things, but this one is one where they get to showcase different talents and interests that they may not get to necessarily do on the job, and it seems to foster a lot of teamwork and camaraderie, and it's a fun thing to see the cast come out and support each other, and I enjoyed going and missed it this year.
They're all in this together.
Oh, I can't wait for High School Musical on Ice. And did you hear they announced today High School Musical the musical? It'll be a live state, and basically at Disney Theatrical Productions is doing a tour of High School Musical that they're doing previews, and it'll open in Chicago in August.
Are any of the original cast in it, do you know?
No, but it has a cast of 35 and a full orchestra, so it's large for a touring production.
Wow.
A lot. I think On the Record had a cast of like 10, six actors and like four musicians. But going back to, I mean, you know, and I don't want to sound like I'm against low-income housing because I'm not. But, you know, the bed taxes and the sales tax and economic activity at Disneyland and the whole Anaheim Resort creates allows the city to do so much. And, you know, there's other places that this can go.
I think I read that. I might be a little off of my numbers, but the Anaheim Resort is about 5% of the whole Anaheim area, yet generates 50% of the tax revenue. So, I mean, you want to protect that. That helps everybody.
Right. And I know, you know, so that's what this is about. It's not about, you know, the big business going against the little people. It's about trying to protect a powerful economic driver, one of the most powerful economic drivers in the state, let alone Anaheim.
Absolutely. And we're all in this together.
Oh, get your head in the game, dude.
You think I know some other songs right now.
You're not Soarin'.
What about Soarin'? Flyin'.
The Penguins can't do that one.
What's
no,
the
but
one
Anaheim
where,
can.
Where everyone's talking about their talent?
Stick
they really
to the
like.
Status quo?
Stick to the status quo. Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, WDI's theme.
That really works in the musical. Not the musical, the pep rally. I like that a lot.
I like the new pep rally at MGM Studios.
It's cool. I
like
the one
in the one Tomorrowland.
California, too.
It was fun in DCA, too.
Yeah. I'm curious. Does it bring a lot of people to DCA? I mean, not that they like, ooh, I'm going to DCA to go see the High School Musical pep rally.
There were a lot of people watching. A lot
The
of people.
Center, the is what's that? The
Sunshine Plaza?
Oh, that's what it is. Sunshine Plaza. It It had audience numbers like when the electrical parade goes by is what it reminded me of when we were walking from Condor Flats towards Burbank Ice Cream. It was going on, and there was a large crowd there, and it kind of reminded me of the way the area looked when electrical parade would be going through.
What Rebecca is talking about over there is our next topic. Rebecca and I got to go to Disneyland last weekend. We had lunch at Stromboli.
Not Stromboli.
That's going back.
Wow. Someone's on that Time Warp Bridge.
Hey, retro.
was that open during the classic years or the legendary years?
Yeah.
That would have been classic years. We had lunch at Storytellers Cafe on Saturday and walked around downtown Disney a little bit. And then on Monday, we got to spend the whole day at the resort visiting both parks and the Grand Californian Hotel. Let's talk about it a little bit, Rebecca, because it had been over a year and a half since we'd been to Disneyland. I think our last visit was actually on the 50th birthday, July 2005. And not a whole lot has changed, but we did get to see all the new stuff, and we had a beautiful time, didn't we, honey?
Yeah, we did. It's funny how many familiar faces are still there. As we drove up at the Grand, the valet attendant recognized Doobie from we used to eat at the Grand each Friday night. That was like our date night, and we'd eat at the Grand, and so the valet recognized us and asked us where we'd been. So well, we moved.
It's been a while.
And then at the restaurants, we were able to chat with the sous chef at the Grand, Mark, and found out about some of the things that are upcoming for the hotel, for the resort dining, and very exciting things there. And it's kind of felt like coming home in a way.
Like a homecoming.
It was.
Was it happy?
Okay, hello. I wrote. Tagline.
Did you go play?
I wrote a column on it for laughingplace.com yesterday. And
oh, that's good. I'm glad you didn't write it for some other website. Don't you have an exclusive agreement with yourself?
And
you know, like Stars, Disney has an exclusive agreement with Stars.
Do they? Is that why all this stuff is coming on Stars? Other stuff is on?
Did you hear the news?
No.
Stars is suing Disney because they claim they have an exclusive window to Disney films, the sort of the HBO window, but Stars, and Disney's violating it by licensing iTunes and Walmart.com to sell the shows online.
Very interesting. That is really interesting. Technology always creates interesting things like that. Anyway, but I subtitled my column Homecoming because it really felt like that, and all the people that we saw that, it's like things never change, which is good. I mean, there's a lot of continuity there.
Because Disneyland is done.
No, the things like that change, but the people. There's so many people there that were there when we lived there, let alone last visited there. And it's just great to see so many familiar faces.
So what's better, Laugh Floor or Monsters, Inc., Mike and Sully to
the
Rescue?
We did get to ride Monsters, Inc., Mike and Sully to the Rescue. Thank you, TM Boy, for the first time. And we were both very impressed. I mean, Superstar Limo was a tough act to follow. I mean, Joan Rivers and Drew Carey and, oh, of course, Whoopi Goldberg. I mean, they had to top that, and I think
they
did it.
And not to mention the agent guy. Remember him?
And the beautiful agent guy, the welcoming voice and face in your screen on your car. But I think that they took a chance. They closed Superstar Limo. They put in Monsters, Inc.
That was a big controversy. All those people that remember, why is Monsters, Inc. killing Superstar Limo bumper stickers?
I remember the campaign, yeah. SaveSuperstarLimo.com.
Oh, the limo ins. It was bad.
But they took a chance and having.
They kept the limos, didn't they? I mean,
they kept the limos. They kept the track. They kept some of the animatronic figures.
That's what's so amazing to me. It's like when push comes to shove, after you exit the attraction, You haven't really done anything that's really that different than what you had done before, and yet so amazingly different. I mean, it was the difference in the experience is just overwhelming. How much more enjoyable the Monsters, Inc. attraction is than the Superstar Limo attraction was. And I didn't hate Superstar Limo. I enjoyed Superstar Limo. It was campy.
Oh, I thoroughly enjoyed Superstar Limo just for not the correct reasons that they wanted to.
But what they were able to do with Monsters, Inc., the sequence where they're in the room with all the doors, that's really cool. when she's banging on Randall's head and he keeps changing colors,
cool.
or not even just colors, but patterns
yeah.
as she's banging on this, is it an AA? I don't know what it is, but it keeps changing. It's so cool.
It's Randall.
No, but I mean, it's, okay, sorry, never mind. I'll value the magic. And then the Roz character's little witty comments at the end are cute, too. She was hitting on D-Land Doug, who was with us on the attraction. That was cute.
We all have to stop ourselves from doing that.
That was so cute.
My favorite thing about that ride is, as you mentioned, you start the ride, and you know they do a little introduction, and you're in this Monstropolis queue, which looks almost like LAX. and the first thing you pass by is this tunnel, this black-lit tunnel that's identical. They haven't touched. They didn't even repaint this thing from Superstar Limo. And you're like, okay. And, you know, they did it. They did it right. And it really makes you wonder what happened with
but
Superstar Limo.
I will say I did have one kind of, like, strange moment. And that was right after that tunnel. When you came around the corner and you were in Monstropolis and you're like on the metropolitan streets of Monstropolis and there's all these little monsters kind of popping out, I had like a Men in Black moment. And it's like, yeah, wait, where's yeah. my gun? I'm supposed to be shooting at targets on the... and then I caught myself. I'm like, oh, wait, this is a fun Disney ride. Let's, you know, enjoy ourselves. But seriously, my initial reaction was Men in Black, since that's what I experienced here at Universal.
One of my favorite touches, I mean, I know the attraction's been open for a while, so this is old news, but they, you know, they have different doors that open up when you're on it, and if you get the Abominable Snowman, he opens up the door and he goes, "Snow cones, anyone?" And there's that lemon smell that comes out.
Aww.
Just like from the movie, you know, when he goes, "They're lemon," you know, as opposed to whatever other yellow substance they might have been. And I think that's just, and you know, when you're going through Harryhausen's and you got that ginger smell,
yes.
and just the little touches that Disney's known for are rampant throughout that attraction.
Harryhausen's was very cool. I really felt like I was riding through a sushi restaurant that was in
yeah.
upheaval.
It was very impressive.
Yeah. Not to be confused with Yamabuki.
Oh, Yamabuki. We didn't make it over
there. We didn't make it over the Divine Hotel or the Very First Hotel. Yeah, that was an impressive attraction. We also got to do Pinocchio's Daring Journey.
Yay!
Which, you go to Disneyland, you live here at Disney World. We don't have that.
Yep.
So.
And they've improved it.
They did?
Yeah, when you go to Pleasure Island, you remember the bang?
Yeah.
It only happens twice as you're going through
I wouldn't call that
Pleasure
an
Island. It used to be like so often
it was like a headache
driving crazy, but it's not as repetitive now. It's like there's a longer gap.
That scared me as a kid.
Cool. I'm going to Disneyland in T-minus 26 hours with no holds. And I'm excited because I went in October. And I'm excited to see the Haunted Mansion changes because I went in October and it was Haunted Mansion Holiday, so I didn't get to see that. What did you guys think without spoiling
it? The Haunted Mansion changes were cool. The attic scenes, I mean, that's what was changed, obviously. it's just cool. Whatever story they put into there.
I do.
And the new bride and the paintings, it was just cool. I mean, first they added the floating Leota head, and now this. I mean, that may be the best Disney attraction ever.
I've only seen video of the new bride thing, but it seems very mood-changing to the whole sort of peppiness of the ride.
But the whole ride isn't peppy.
It used to be.
The attic has not been peppy for years. Before this change, the last attic scene was not peppy either.
I guess.
That's kind of what
this
the
is
attic
a little bit more
for.
Blatantly.
You have this fun, and you have the graveyard, but right in the middle of that attic just kind of...
I still say for me, these changes make... These changes make the Haunted Mansion no longer a B-movie, which is what it was to me before. It's kind of a campy, scary, but not really scary movie, the kind you take a date to and the old drive-in, you know, that kind of thing. But now it's like PG. It's kind of like, it actually is kind of a little scary, creepy. And I don't know. I'm curious to know. I don't have any kids, so I'd be curious to see how it plays with kids who maybe before liked it. I'm curious to know if they still like it or if it's now too scary. Or maybe it's not as scary because you don't have those big, you know, things popping out at you anymore. Yeah. Which were kind of, you know, creepy. And they don't have that anymore.
Is the piano
now.
Player still there?
Yeah.
That was the coolest thing.
Piano player's still there.
That was my favorite thing. It was a shadow piano
player.
Was
Brigham Young's hearse still there?
Oh, dude. No.
We also got to
do... But Captain Nemo's organ was.
All right. So tell me you saw Pirates.
We also got to do the changed Pirates, which, of course, we've done here at Disney World. And in my opinion, the one here at Disney World is... No, they're pretty much the same. The only... The big difference is the place.
The changes are the same, not the attraction.
Yeah, the attraction's better here, that's for sure.
Because it's shorter for yeah, those of you who wonder.
Oh, dude, riding the first half of that ride at Disneyland just reminded me. That's one long,
see,
boring
I
attraction.
Like that ride.
But it's the placement a great of the waterfall. Attraction. The placement of the waterfall is definitely better at Disney, or the new.
And we don't have any hidden goofy here. We have
no
hidden goofy,
goofy
at our pirates.
You've been on the thing a million times. Not once have you been able to show me.
It's there.
Goofy in the
I don't
rock.
Know what your problem is. There's a hidden goofy as you're passing the big pile of gold.
I know
with
the rock you're referring to.
It's this rock. It looks,
and it's curved it, upwards.
And it's
right?
curved upward with a nose. And then there's another thing on the back that looks like a hat.
Oh. Now
it's
I see what you mean.
Goofy.
Okay, I got it. But no, it's not.
It is. I don't, you're wrong.
Have you guys been to Team Disney building, Team Disney Anaheim? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they took us for an annual pass holder event to show us the hidden goofy. and then, but the funny thing was they only allowed us into the lobby. And then once we were in the lobby, they told us that you can only view the hidden goofy very well from upstairs, but we weren't allowed up there.
So as a special treat, they took you to an office building?
Yeah, they did. It was part of the annual pass holder event.
And we were happy to have
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, it was fun.
Oh, and that was better than the Light Magic pass holder event?
Well, there was many other things to do, but it was very cool because it was a new building, you know, and whatnot, and nobody, we hadn't been
what's gotten into Team Disney? I remember that campaign.
Yeah, it was cool.
I remember like one of my first I'm a Disney geek things was when I learned that the Team Disney Anaheim building, because it's the hot dog building, because it's green and green and yellow, mustard and relish, and it's got weenies in it.
Oh, that's so bad.
That's what they used to always tell me the ages.
I thought the castle
so
was a weenie.
Bad. Yeah,
so. With all the weenies at Disney.
That's mean.
Anyway.
You hang out with the wrong kind of annual pass.
And the other, just got to mention real quick, Billy Hill and the Hillbillies, they were great. We saw them twice because that is the biggest thing missing here at Walt Disney World. But I think Rebecca.
Space Mountain? Did you see Space Mountain?
Didn't see space. Oh, I saw it. But.
It was white again, probably the last.
Yeah, nice little LED sign and all that.
Here's my top five things I'm happy when we went to Disneyland hadn't changed.
Ooh.
The first one's kind of convoluted because I pushed three things together for my number five.
It's really like a top seven.
But not really, because they are like it's like an element of Disneyland that I really, really love, and that is that the Grand Californian has that beautiful door when you enter. The DCA has that beautiful mural as you enter, and Disneyland itself has that gorgeous floral. So just the fact that the three main, what have always been for me, the main entrances to the resort,
right.
have this really ornate and inviting and brightly colored entranceway.
Especially DCA. It's like stepping into a postcard almost.
Okay, mister, I read all the publicity materials. The number four on my list is the fact that you still get your hand stamped. So as you leave the park, you can
cool.
smack each other in the face with your wet hand stamp, and then when you go on a ride, you can see who got the other one the most. So yeah, that's what you have to do. When you leave the park and you get your hand stamp, before it dries, you have to take the back of your hand and smack the person that you're with as many times as you can, and then you go on a dark ride and you see who nailed the other one the most.
Wait here. Like I remember when the stamps were like, nasty yellow ink.
Oh, they still are. Oh, yeah. It was
because I remember the invisible stuff, and I remember the yellow.
Well,
so
she gets a good amount of ink on
dude,
it. And she has to re-ink it between each hand.
I had a very nice yellow band that was probably about 3/4 of an inch wide that ran from my outside of my hand to the inside of my hand. It's supposed to say Hercules. Oh, microphone. It's supposed to say Hercules, but mine just said Blah-Lees. Because it was all blurred. It was awesome.
I wonder if, like, in 40 years, there's going to be this, like, rampant case of outbreak of cancer on annual pass holders' wet hands.
I think that is the plan.
That stuff is very durable. I will never forget the time I went to Disneyland for breakfast, and then I went to the beach for the day with a bunch of friends. I was at the beach, you know, from, like, 11 until, like, 5 o'clock at night, and then I got in the car, drove back to Disneyland. And I was kind of worried about my hand stamp, but nope, it was still there. Even a rough day at the beach, couldn't get rid of my hand stamp.
Is that a good thing? Or
At Disney World, I left, and I went swimming, and I went to Blizzard Beach, and I came back, and I was kind of worried, but I put my finger there, and it still worked.
Oh, stop. Okay, and number four. I'm sorry.
Do you actually have a fingerprint?
Number three.
It's not a fingerprint.
Number three on my list is the delight that we had when we were sitting at Carnation Cafe for lunch. And who should come over to our table?
The Grouch.
Oscar. No.
The other Oscar. I'm sorry.
Wonderful Chef Oscar.
Who's been with the park for 50 years.
Yep.
Wow.
And he still, I joke with him that his main job now is just to walk around and make magic for guests.
That's no joke.
I know, but.
His job now.
Can you imagine Disney just having people and all they did all day was just walk around and make dreams come true?
He is the original Dream Squad, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, I mean, in fact, when you, cast members no longer allowed to eat at Carnation and their immediate families. Because they're not eligible to have their dream come true, and so they can't eat there anymore.
Does Oscar have a way with BOLOGNA?
Oscar is very nice.
He's been
through the door for 50 years, the longest tenured cast member at Disneyland now, and pretty much it seems his job now is to just walk around Carnation, greet people, smile, and if they recognize him or whatever, take pictures.
I saw him take a recipe for the loaded baked potato soup over to some guests, and he was helping another one of the children assemble their sandwich, because it's like make your own sandwich kind of thing. They give you all the pieces. So it was cool.
So Oscar's a delight, and we are so happy he is still at the resort and hope he's there in another 50 years.
And number two on my list is we were walking into Fantasyland and their Storybook Land with its super long line, and Dumbo with its super long line, and Peter Pan with its super long line, and Casey Jr. with a line that was curving and going down the stairs, and then I look over at my beloved Pinocchio, and no light out the door. Whoopee!
What is it about that attraction?
It's sad because it is the coolest
Snow White.
Of the sit-down dark rides.
Right.
Snow White, too, is like that.
Yeah.
There's nothing there.
It's cooler than Alice. To me, it's cooler than Peter Pan.
Did you do Mr. Toad because we don't...
No, we didn't
that
do
always
Mr.
Has
Toad.
A huge line.
It had about it was running a 25 to 30 minute
because
when we
walked by. Because now it's rarer now because they got rid of it.
But you know what's really nice is the ivy that's on the covering over the line that was installed a long time ago. It's finally beginning to fill in.
10 years ago, I remember they put that up.
It's so nice.
That's got to look great. 10 years
I
later.
Know. Where were we? At the Bougainvillea over at Downtown Disney is growing in really thick. Oh, and the Wisteria at the Grand Californian exit to DCA is stunning.
How's that dense forest? Across the street from La Brea Bakery, looking towards the park.
That actually was looking really good. I don't know if they've changed how they do it or something, but okay.
Juby and I totally disagree on this one.
Forget it's looking good. There's no rips. There's no bubbles.
In a forest? I'm so confused.
We're talking about the lovely view of the Indiana Jones show building that they covered up with forest tarp at some point during the resort expansion, and I think it looks better now than it did before, if only because there were no rips and no bubbles.
And I think that you just missed them because the rips and stuff were there, and
is it better than just plain old green?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's like a sepia scale. Now it's if they took that tarp and made it like a sepia to me is how it looks. So
well,
it doesn't
Indiana
stand out.
Jones.
Before it was kind of like, you know, fluorescent green.
Right.
And so now it's not quite so fluorescent green. And don't go like 1940s.
Well, Indiana Jones is themed better now because of Indiana Jones being a 40s thing.
You know, one of my dreams has always been to stay at the Grand Californian, and they always call and they say, "Do you want a park view? Do you want a Downtown Disney view?" I want an Indiana Jones show building view.
You've been talking about that as long as I've known you.
Yeah, because I've been talking about it ever since they designed that hotel. I'm like, I want one that faces, you open your window and every couple minutes you hear, boom.
That would
be
fun.
As the big boulder comes down.
And then pop, pop from
the Jungle Cruise. And then my number one is Billy Hill and the Hillbillies.
Billy Hill and the Hillbillies.
After all these years, he still does the gag where he has these prosthetic teeth, you know, he talks about them being his prosthesis. And then he goes on to tell you that he bought them for $1, which makes him buck teeth. And I can't believe it. It's been, I don't know how many years, and he's still telling that joke. And nearly everybody in that place, when they ask how many of you have seen us before or whatever, nearly everybody in the place are repeat guests. And yet the place breaks out in hysterics with these jokes.
What's the name of the guy that does that joke?
That would be Billy.
Billy.
Oh, okay.
Yep, that would be Billy. So it was good to see the Billies. I miss them. I wish we could bring them with us to Florida because they are a highlight. In fact, we saw two shows featuring them, and I really enjoy their Devil Went Down to Georgia finale
relatively
now.
Relatively new addition to their show, maybe 2 years or so.
I was going to say, 10, 15 years?
Yeah.
No, I mean, the lead Billy, I guess you could call him that, he actually was part of the Golden Horseshoe cast. Oh, yeah. So he's been performing in the Golden Horseshoe now for, wow, many years.
The continuity of some cast members at Disneyland is staggering.
Oh, like, tell them who we saw as we were walking out of the Golden Horseshoe and what he's known for.
Farley.
Yep.
Farley
the Fiddler?
Farley the Fiddler, who's been at the resort, what?
If you have that Day at Disneyland DVD or video from the 80s, he's on that with his eye kind of dancing around Farley the Fiddler. Yeah, he was there. He's, you know, with the cast member name badge and everything. He's still there.
What about the mime?
No, Lan Yep's gone.
For those of you not in the room, we just made a lot of people not talking jokes because it was a mime, which works so well on a podcast.
We should go into video so then you can do this.
And we went to. Sorry.
No, I was doing my mind.
Okay, so for those of you still not here,
Doobie
put up his hand.
Put up his hand. And Rebecca stopped.
Yep.
Rebecca stopped.
Forgive me for thinking you were telling me to be quiet.
I was thinking the same thing that you
and
were.
And I've determined that Indiana Jones still confuses me. It's a good ride, but I don't understand
until the ending.
Yeah, I don't understand how we get away from the boulder
like,
and how it ends
two
up
boulders
over on my right.
And
I don't understand. And the Disney Gallery, I want to win the lottery so that I can buy all of the concept art that they sell via Art on Demand, as well as all of the storybook art that they have right now. So it was a fun time.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
good time.
And to close our discussion on our visit to Disneyland Resort, we must mention the last thing we did on our visit to the Disneyland Resort, which was go to our favorite restaurant in the whole world, the Napa Rose, and just sat in the lounge, talked to the people, and the people there really have been there forever. I mean, we talked to one of the managers there who was a server last time we were there, and is now a manager, and just went around and asked about everybody, and everybody's still there. And we found out, you know, one has a baby, and another is about to become a master sommelier, and...
Yeah, Steve Poe. He was studying. He was taking his master sommelier test.
As was Michael Jordan.
As was Michael Jordan that night.
And it's just, I don't know. It's very heartwarming to see that the Napa Rose has retained so many great people and is still such a great restaurant.
And Chris with a K had got his 10-year pin that night.
Just that day.
And we can remember him from Summer Tree, which is the restaurant over at the what at that time would have been the Pan Pacific, and then became Disney's. Pacific Hotel now is the
Paradise Pier Hotel.
And then he opened Napa, and he's still there and doing well. And
Don Dee, who was at the Summer Tree, and Denise, who we knew from Stromboli's, just had a baby.
And Mickey, who has one of the best. I mean, he was whenever we would go to the hotel, and there's a car for the cast member of the month. It was almost always Mickey. He's always going above and beyond for guests. I'll never forget the time that some guests from Japan. Mickey's from Japan. He escorted them. He took time off from work and escorted them into downtown LA, which can be quite a drive with traffic and whatever, because they were having passport issues. And he, on his own, his own accord, took these guests up to make sure that everything went well for them and to be a host for them. It's just, they were just all the cast that have made their way over to the Napa Rose were all people that we'd known and really show that Disney magic and Disney service. And so it's great to see them doing well there.
Absolutely.
How was the food?
Oh, phenomenal.
Food? Oh, yeah.
The food was phenomenal.
The food was good. I had a cheap
although they've
pizza.
Gotten rid of all of our favorites. We're so sad.
Yeah, that's the one where Michael wasn't there to have a discussion with us.
They've gotten rid of all of our favorites. But we tried some new things, and they were very tasty. They've replaced my Scharfenberger hazelnut tort thing.
Do they still have...
But they have a Scharfenberger chocolate cake now, so, and that was very good.
Do they still have a trio...
Of gelatos?
Gelatos or ice? Is it ice cream or gelato?
It went back and forth, didn't it? I don't know. I don't recall. I don't recall that being on the menu.
I don't recall that either. Yeah, I don't.
You had a pizzetta, right? A four cheese pizza.
I had a four cheese pizzetta.
And I had
which
pasta.
Is a $20 pizza.
And I had pasta with a venison sausage. It was very tasty.
Miss the Napa Rose, miss the Billy's.
Yep.
Miss
the Mickey and French parking structure.
Miss the Mickey and French parking structure, which we got to park in.
They have new trash can design.
The parking structure or just Disney in general?
The parking structure.
Really? What is it?
I mean,
this
it's like got like stripes of varying colors on it. It's very, like to me it looks like Tomorrowland-ish.
All right.
Hey, what can I say? They were new to me. So
well, have
like,
you seen
Woo-hoo!
The new trash cans at Disney
Tomorrowland?
World?
Oh,
with the latch?
Which
they have a latch. So, whenever the poor cast member has to reach in and open it up and get the trash out, he doesn't have to stick his hand in the little flap and get whatever gunk's left over
to open up the little door. He has a little, and the doors don't open up with the wind like they used to. They have a little latch. They open the, lift the latch, and the
did
door
opens. Did
they
patent that? Someone won an innovation award for that?
I think they did. And, you know, and it only took, Walt Disney designed those trash cans in 1955, and it's only taken them 52 years to say, you know what? We should put a latch on those.
And maybe someday that'll make it over to Disneyland.
But they've gotten rid of, they used to say push on it, and now they feel that people know how to use them, so they've got rid of the push.
But they got them, they got them to talk, though.
That is, yeah. How come a talking trash can beat the latch? We tend to go in reverse.
Talking trash can seems a little bit more fun.
We saw a talking trash can at DCA.
That we did.
That push at Disneyland has gone through many cosmetic surgeries. He started off in Tomorrowland. Then he went to DCA. He started off in Hollywood Pictures backlot. Then he went to DCA. Then he went to Grizzly Peak Recreation Area. And every time getting a hole, you
that's
know.
That's where we saw.
So, you know, they don't know where. He walked all over the place.
And cast members who are still there. Trash Can Trio lead.
Yep. Yeah.
We were amazed. We came around the corner, heard the Trash Can Trio. We're like, oh, that's nice. And then there was the lead.
Is
and
it still
like,
the bump, bump, bump
and
song?
And we're like, wow.
And we saw them their very first day on July 17th,
1995. Yep.
When they debuted for Disneyland's 40th anniversary. Anyway, we are running so long. Laughingplace.com/podcast.
That was great to reminisce.
Podcast at laughingplace.com to email us. 866-718-9408 to call us. Let us know what you want us to talk about or give us your opinions or just tell us to shut up if that's what
shut up
suits your fancy. Before I close, any final words from Rebecca?
Maybe next week we can talk about all the fun we had at DCA, talking about all the things that aren't there anymore.
Pretty facts full. Bad boy.
Get a grip.
Go Bruins.
Yeah, go Bruins. Captain John.
I have an answer to give.
Woo-hoo.
Dude, how could I forget?
How could you forget?
Well, go ahead and give
us that
write
it down
answer.
On your little shirt.
You're right. I need to write that down.
All right. So the question was, name the vultures in the Jungle Book. Does anybody have any guesses? Just out of curiosity.
Max, Buff, and Melvin.
And Theodore.
And a bar named
John,
Tennessee.
John, Paul, George, and Ringo. Oh, wait.
That's close enough. No, Buzzy, Ziggy, Dizzy, and Flaps.
They actually had names. Where are those names? They're not in the movie, are they?
I think they are credited, or either that's what they were named for. Like, you know, like when you make a movie, even though you may not say the name, you always need to give them names.
Damn.
I bet Jungle Book 2 also had further revelation as to who they were, too.
Like with Shanti or Shanti or whatever you pronounce
it. Yeah, she was just the girl.
She was just, there was no name until the second one.
I'm pretty sure those are also the names of Radio Disney DJs.
Just plain Mark.
And Zippy.
And Zippy.
Yeah, because they've been around in the last 5 years. You don't listen to Radio Disney much, do you?
Those were the ones on the sign at the launching pad back in the day. That's not all I remember.
The launching pad?
The launch
pad. There you go.
Does that still do anything, the spinny Observatron thing? Do they even bother with that?
That's on my top 5 list of things I'm glad to show at Disneyland.
What is that called, the Observatron?
The Observatron, yeah.
Yep.
They changed the launching pad Radio Disney area. That's now a shop.
It could.
The atmosphere or whatever. Or the new atmosphere location.
I remember the old one being like in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, by the Skyway. Used to be over by the Skyway.
Yeah, then it went another half place.
And they've added a DVC location to Tomorrowland, too.
Oh.
DVC locations around the Disneyland Resort now. Anyway, any final words from Captain John now that I've let you do your thing?
Hide the rum. Hide the rum.
Hide the rum. And with that, we will talk to you next week. Have fun at Disneyland, fanboy.
I will. It's my dream come true, really.
999,999 to go.
98.